I do think that I am more of like a Dorothy Rising, maybe like a Rose Sun and a Sophia Moon. Yeah. I don't know if any of that
Okay.
made sense.
Just to recap, you said, can you repeat that one more time?
I don't think I can.
Welcome to Orbitals, an astrology podcast. I am your host, William Holloway, and today we have a very special episode. We are going to explore the astrology of the Golden Girls. With me to discuss and dissect, I have two special guests, astrologer Alexander Creek. Welcome.
Thank you.
And also my friend, musician, and self-proclaimed Golden Girls historian, Joseph Mahalan. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks everybody for being here. I'm really excited. And so let's just get right into it. Let's get something out of the way. We're obviously three gay men, and I'm curious, by a show of hands, how many of us have received Golden Girls related gifts by random people over the years?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
Every
absolutely.
year, actually.
Let's see. I've gotten ornaments. I've gotten I know, Joseph, you have the refrigerator magnets. I think
I have the
everyone.
refrigerator magnets. I have the prayer candles. I have one for each of them. Somebody got me Golden Girls like throw pillows once.
I remember.
Oh, cute.
I've have my family has gifted me the same like Golden Girls board game three times. They just keep forgetting
Oh,
they've already bought it for
I have Golden Girls Clue. I forgot about that.
me.
I have that too.
Yeah.
Oh, so we all have Golden Girls Clue. Okay.
Yes, that's so funny. I forgot how much Golden Girls should I have, or among my friend group, like how much, because my best friends are all like also fans as well. So there's like the ornaments and, like the cheesecake, which is obviously cheesecake is a universal thing, but it's
Oh, yeah.
every time we have it is a reference to the show, So
Absolutely.
I feel like it's more popular now than ever. Like in when I was, because I started watching it when I was really little and then became like a fan in middle school when I would, or I say I'm from school, like sick, quote unquote. And that's when I'd watch it on Lifetime, was kind of my primary kind of entry to it. And then I remember, I don't know, maybe in like when I was like college age, I was like, oh, this people are like starting to watch it. Like this is my thing. I didn't know anyone else that watched it besides me and my mom,
It
until I
is.
became like an adult.
It's one of those shows that is so it's so comforting to me that I actually will, it's I'm one of those people who I have to fall asleep to something in front of me. Like I wish I wasn't that way, but that's just how the good Lord built me. I love falling asleep to the Golden Girls. Love it, love it, love it, love it. And then the theme song kind of like enters my dreams a little bit. It's kind of cool.
It's
It's a sweet way
definitely.
to enter dreamland, like how nurturing.
It's definitely a comfort show for so many people. I think of watching it with my grandmother. I mean, it was on Saturday nights, which used to be, in the 80s and at least part of the 90s was a normal night for people to watch television. And I remember watching The Golden Girls. In fact, I remember it premiering because it happened right around when I was having my He-Man phase as a little
Oh, of
kid.
course, yes. Oh,
And there
yes.
was like a toy. It wasn't She-Ra. I loved She-Ra as well, but there was like a knockoff She-Ra toy called the Golden Girls. And I remember my grandmother was watching the Golden Girls. I remember thinking, I gotta watch the Golden Girls because I'm thinking it's this like superhero, like She-Ra type thing. And it's not that. I mean, it is that, but not that. Something I learned in the process of researching this was because so many of these writers that wrote for the Golden Girls, a lot of them got their start on Golden Girls. which is interesting, right? Like, think about all the big shows that became big hits later, like Roseanne. So many of them went on to Roseanne. Obviously, the Gilmore Girls. The guy that created Arrested Development.
Mitch Horowitz, is that his name?
Yes, he wrote on that. Mark Cherry, who went on to do
Yes.
Desperate Housewives.
It seemed like a breeding ground for a lot of really good writers. Was okay, was Joss Whedon like staff writer too, or did I completely
His
make that up?
dad.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
Gotcha.
his dad. So, yeah, so in the family for sure. Why don't we pull up the chart for
Yeah.
Golden Girls? And while I'm pulling up the chart, Joseph, why don't you give us a little intro bio of what even is the Golden Girls?
Sure. So, there might be some people listening that have never watched an episode of The Golden Girls. And to those people, I say, why? Get yourself to a TV immediately. Dial, get a, flip it to Lifetime. I'm sure that Golden Girls is playing. So, The Golden Girls was an extremely popular American sitcom with an ensemble cast revolving around four older single women, consisting of three widows and a divorcee, sharing a house in Miami while navigating their golden years with joy, humor, angst, friendship, and chaos. It featured four characters with distinctly different personalities, which many have said contributed to a successfully comedic formula for the show. So, first, we have Dorothy Zbornak, a sarcastic, strong-willed, and practical woman who was never her mother's favorite and who actually auditioned for Jeopardy and didn't get on because the producers didn't think anyone would like her, played by Dee Arthur. We have Sophia Petrillo, Dorothy's wisecracking and blunt Sicilian mother, whose antics were often blamed on a stroke that rendered her totally annoying, played by Estelle Getty. Rose Nyland, a naive and sweet woman with a 25-year yet single episode pill problem, played by Betty Lippitt. And
So
we
funny.
have Blanche Devereaux, a Southern belle and womanizer, whose level of delusion caused her to break into her fuck buddy's house because she hadn't heard from him in so long that she thought he was dead, played by Rue McClanahan. The premise of the show explores the joys and difficulties of their golden years, focusing on things like relationships, work, and family. The show ran for seven seasons on NBC from 1985 to 1992, and it has become a beloved and well-renowned sitcom. It was praised for its portrayal of older women in leading roles and for breaking barriers and focusing on things like still being vital in your twilight years, being beautiful, sexual, and worthy of love. So that was The Golden Girls.
Yeah.
Nice summary.
And all the
Yeah.
gays loved it.
All the gays loved it. Yeah. So Golden Girls premiered on September 14th, 1985, which was a Saturday at 8 p.m. There was a new moon happening in Virgo. Now, if you go by whole sign house, that's in the sixth house. There's actually a lot of stuff happening in the sixth house. We have Mercury in Virgo in the sixth house. We have Mars in Virgo in the sixth house. So, Alex, what are some things that pop out to you when you look at this chart of the Golden Girls?
How much gravity do you give to the rising sign since it's like since because it's so it premieres in New York.
Right.
I guess it would be the same rising sign. I don't know. Like
Right. So how I do it for like TV shows is if where would have first premiered, so it would have been East Coast time. So that's why I do New York. If it's a TV show that premieres in the fall and it's at 8 p.m., it's always going to be Aries rising if you're doing it this
Got
way.
it.
And then it'll
Okay.
be Taurus rising if it's 9 p.m. And then but if it's in the
Oh,
spring, it ends up
okay.
being Libra rising at
Yeah.
8 and Scorpio rising at 9. So the
Okay.
rising sign does play in if you think about it like a little bit, but it's not what I pay attention to as much when
Got
it's a
it. Because
TV show.
I was like, oh, because I was like, oh, it's Aries rising, it's pioneering. But if every show is premiering as an Aries rising show, which is also kind of interesting though, if you're looking like TV trivia, like
Yeah.
our new slate of fall television all is Aries rising, which is like beginning of something. But
Yeah.
I was kind of trying to put it. I mean, the Virgo thing was what I noticed too, was in the new moon in Virgo. And I actually pulled up the final episode,
Ooh.
which was May 9th, 1992. And so, which was 7 years later. So, which would have that's a Saturn cycle. And so, the final episode was Saturn and Aquarius. It was like pretty closely squaring it, like by degree of this show. So, it does look like, because I know the show ended when it was still really popular. Because if I remember correctly, I think it was Bea Arthur, it was just like done.
Yeah. Yep.
But you know, I was kind of struggling with the, I mean, I like that it's ruled by Mercury and Virgo. I mean, known for its like the wit and like the strong writing, and also the fact that, you know, we have Venus in Leo in the fifth house of this chart, which is like kind of self-explanatory, but it's just like, I think that's probably helpful if you're wanting to make like a winning sitcom that is funny and popular, having Venus, the planet of love and beauty, and like the fifth house of performance. And but I guess I wonder, what do you think about the preponderance of sixth house placements?
Well, first off, I wanted to address that Venus in Leo, because I have Venus in Leo, and I always associated it with a lot of the strong women in my life, like looking up to these kind of like take no prisoners kind of, you know, no nonsense women who just like, you know, gay men love to look up to. There's just something very Venus in Leo, you know?
Yeah.
Going back to the sixth house. So the sixth house, because if you think about it, the sixth house is one of the houses that's, it's decline, right? So you can think of, you know, here's a story about these women that up until maybe Golden Girls, you know, women who are at retirement age, there are people on the decline, right? They're past their prime. They're not, you know, seen, you know, they're on their way out. But then you have this new moon in the sixth house, right? So it's like a new era. Mars has its joy in the sixth house, so it almost gives the sixth house some strength. And you can think about the vitality of the women. We're super strong. And that was kind of part of it, right? That like you could be an older woman and still have this life. And, you know, even though the stories were about older women, the reason I think it was so popular is because they were dealing with regular stuff that so many people could identify with.
Well, and also I'm just noticing too, Mercury in Virgo, the ruler of that new moon, is square Uranus also. And which gives it the flavor of like, the unexpected, like the totally original, unique, kind of out of left field kind of energy, as well, which is pretty cool. And also I have Chiron turned on in my software too. There's a direct, there's a really close Uranus Chiron opposition. I don't really know what to make of that. It's just that like, oh yeah, Chiron, like being the wounded healer. But I don't know, like sometimes I don't really know what to make of that, but I do think it's kind of interesting if you look at it as in a T-square with Mercury as well, you know?
Yeah, I have Chiron turned off because it's in my first house. And if I...
You're like, I don't want to deal with that.
I don't want to look at that all the time. So I'm going to pretend it's not there.
Totally. But also like if you kind of think about people on the margins, basically, if we're going back to that sixth house placement and like resonating with, and also just striking this very kind of unusual chord, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Totally. Another thing about the sixth house is, you know, it's like a house of service or like you're paying your dues. So in that way you can think of, I mean, it's very, you know, the show is all about the writing. I mean, you'll hear like even Bea Arthur say like, the show wouldn't have been what it was without those fantastic writers that got their start there. I mean, so many of them were really young. I mean, this book that I've been reading from Stan Zimmerman, he was in his early 20s. So it's kind of wild and funny to think like, what were these like men in their early 20s writing about these old women? Like how did...
totally.
You know?
Also, I just noticed too, that Venus in Leo in the fifth house is square Saturn as well. Which does give it the feeling of like, if Saturn is a stand-in for older people as well, you know. Also, the other thing too is Neptune showed up a couple times in the girls' charts, the two that we have birth times for, Rue McClanahan and Betty White. If Rue McClanahan is anywhere accurate, her Neptune would be on the ascendant as well as Betty White too.
Speaking of Neptune, something I was looking in the ephemeris, and Neptune had just stationed to go direct after being retrograde, like a few days before this. So
cool.
Yeah. And the fact that it's at the very top of the chart, like being extra potent, I think just speaks to the zeitgeistiness.
Totally. Yes. Absolutely.
Neptune is all about that, like the things that like just kind of catch on and trend.
And especially, I was just gonna say Neptune being in Capricorn, like again, like the sign of like maturity in older people again kind of showing up as well, I think is pretty cool too, you know?
Totally.
So would the 11th house kind of be like the show's fans? We have Jupiter squaring the notes too. And that's kind of an incomplete thought, but also since the fans seem to be so like we are holding the show up until the like Earth like burns down, like eventually, you know what I mean? So
Generations that come after us will know about the Golden Girls for some
exactly.
reason.
Exactly.
They'll find a
There will just
DVD
be
in
mountains of
the
merch and of merch just like laying around everywhere.
sand. It just in like fallout shelters. There's just like Golden Girls Clue, basically. Also, like, where do you see older women? I feel like Venus and Leo in the fifth house being sex, like sexual activity, and Venus squaring maybe, you know, Venus being in that fifth house, like. There is a lot of sex happening in the show, and it's older women too. So, you know.
Definitely the Venus square Saturn, with Saturn in the eighth house and Scorpio.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes.
Totally.
Also, because they are getting laid a lot,
Yeah,
like
they
the boots
are.
down.
Even Dorothy, which even I know the jokes were always about how nobody wanted to date her. That was, a constant joke that actually really bothered her and was a big part of the reason she wanted to leave the show, which we'll get into when we look at their chart. But
Oh, okay.
yeah. But they all got laid throughout the, I mean, yeah. Good for them. I
Yeah,
know.
honestly, it's more than me at this point right now. So good for them. Like the energy they have to date as many men as they were dating is like exhausting. Like I cannot even fathom.
I
So
mean, the amount of times they'd be like, oh, it's a Saturday night, now I have no one to go out with. It's like,
I know. I'm like,
wow.
I fully am like, I am kind of a Dorothy in the sense of like, I'm tired. So
I hear that. But
I'm a
yeah, I
blonde.
guess
I'm just gonna be real.
you're a blend. Okay.
I'm a
I'm
blonde.
definitely more of a rose, whether it's or not. And it's interesting when and this is for another episode, but the amount of the successful shows that happen on a new or full moon are very many. So I think that's interesting.
Oh, interesting. Okay, cool.
I also don't want us to go on to the next section before addressing the fact that you said
Who said what?
that you are Dorothy. I'm sorry.
Who?
You're Sophia all the way, bitch. You
Me?
are Sophia all the way.
Who?
You.
I didn't say Dorothy. I said Rose.
Oh, you said Rose?
Yeah,
Oh.
Alex said Dorothy.
No, okay. Alex, sorry. I got
Yeah,
you too
that's all
confused.
right. That's all
No,
right.
William, you're okay. But you have a little bit of Sophia in you.
I do, I do. There's a crotchety old woman inside of me. Absolutely. But yeah, so before we go into B. Arthur's chart, Joseph, why don't you give us a little B. Arthur bio?
B. Arthur was born Beatrice Frankel on March 14th, 1922. And she was, of course, an American actress, singer, and comedian who started her stage career in 1947 in the play Lysistrata. But she was best known for her roles in television sitcoms. She gained fame for playing Maude Findlay on All in the Family and Maude, and she later played Dorothy Zbornak on The Golden Girls. And prior to acting, she actually served in the U.S. Marine Corps Women's Reserve during World War II. She was born and raised in Brooklyn, and she was passionate about women's rights, the elderly, and the Jewish community, as well as being an outspoken champion for the LGBTQIA plus community and homeless youth. She passed away on April 25th, 2009, at the ripe old age of 86.
Cool. Now I have a
She's
question.
also my birthday twin. We're both May
Oh,
13th.
May
And we're
13th. Okay. I
yeah,
was gonna
and
say
we're
because
both like we're both like over six. I'm 6'4". I don't know how tall she was. She was really tall and
Oh, wait,
just,
did I say
you
the wrong
know,
date?
there's a kinship. No, I don't think so.
You said March 14th.
No,
I
we're
heard
both May
March 14th.
14th.
Yeah, I was gonna say it is May
Yeah.
13th. Okay,
Oh, it's May 13th. Where the hell did I get March 14th from?
I mean May, March.
That's
Yeah,
crazy. Sorry about
I
that.
was like to point that out. It's like,
Yeah,
yeah.
your birthday twin, and you're tall like B. What rising
We're
sign?
tall. I am Scorpio rising.
You're Scorpio rising. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, B, Arthur, we don't have a time. Every chart I found gave her a Capricorn rising. I don't know. Do you think a Capricorn rising makes sense because she's tall, but I don't know. I mean, it could be, I could see her as a Scorpio rising too. Although the Capricorn rising does put her moon and Mars in the 12th, which I think is fitting for her personality from what we know of
her. I can go with that.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, it also makes her ruling planet Saturn in Libra. So there's like that exalted Saturn in her 10th house if we are going with Capricorn rising.
Yeah. And she has a Taurus sun and a Sagittarius moon. So what are some things that jump out to you about her chart, Alex?
Mercury, Venus conjunction in Gemini, which I have too. Also, that's the other kind of signature. Was just like, yeah, I think we're both funny bitches. Cause I think that is a funny bitch combination.
Absolutely.
You know, again, someone known for that sort of sharp, dry wit, like throughout her career. My thing was, also I kind of honed in right on her moon Mars conjunction in Sagittarius, you know? Mm-hmm. And because it made me think of when she played Maud had an abortion.
Oh yeah.
And I kind of thought, you know, cause it's, I think on one level, that combination of moon Mars and Sagittarius, it really kind of feels like someone who's maybe going to push boundaries a little bit. And there is that wit. I also feel like we could sort of get from that combination as well. And also just like the, I don't know, like the bodiness or like brashness of her energy, but the moon Mars thing, literally, I was like, oh, that feels like if moon is like womb and Mars, it's like literally was like, oh, someone who's known for like one of the first people on TV to have an abortion, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Like
she was known. They were even nervous about casting her. There were people at the studio that were nervous about casting her because conservatives were going to be upset because she was always associated with that abortion episode. What stood out to me, and again, this is assuming that she is that Capricorn rising with that exalted Saturn right there at the top of the chart. Just like it speaks to her physical presence and just like being known as a tall person with a deep voice, very Saturnian. And there were so many stories about her feet that I found.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It kind of speaks to the Taurusness. There's just something so like Taurus with like a Saturn, like at the top of the chart about like, so she didn't like to wear shoes. So there were a lot of stories about Bea Arthur walking around barefoot, or like so people funny. Just talking about her wild feet. Someone saying that she had these wild hairy feet that resembled the Lord of the Rings.
Whoa. Well, I know she she famously wore flats on the show. So.
Yes. Because her feet were really, they hurt a lot, I think, from wearing heels through, you know, the 40s and 50s, because women always had to professionally wear those, and she had bigger feet, so she probably tried to fit her feet into smaller shoes than were right for her body, and she had hurt feet later on in life because of it.
Capricorn rising could make a lot of sense. I mean, even just looking at, she has her sun in Taurus would be in the fifth house, which is like performance and entertainment, and like midheaven. In Libra being ruled by Venus and Gemini again, you know, again, like it kind of sort of comes back to like the entertainment and the sharp wit thing. But also her advocacy for like, for the LGBTQ community. And cause like she gave like her fortune away at the end of her life. I feel like I kind of feel like that would speak to her sect light, her moon, in the 12th house, sort of, and also those placements in the sixth house as well, both those houses having to do with people that are, again, kind of in the margins, you know? Okay, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because I didn't consider the rising at all, because I was like, I don't know, like, if this time is right at all. And I was like, oh, there's actually a lot here that's...
It works. The chart tingling. That works.
Yeah. Also, just her having that intimidating presence is very Capricorn rising. But, and again, sort of speaking to it, we're like, oh, we exalted Saturn. I was like, it's just like it's like this longevity, you know, and because she had a very long career. She's doing like, I feel like her, like a one woman show, like late in her life. And she was appearing on like roasts of Comedy Central, if I remember correctly too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yep. You know, like dragging the girls her entire life. So
yeah. Part of the reason she left, wanted to end the Golden Girls, was she was thinking about its legacy and she wanted to end on a high note, where the other women mm-hmm. were fine working as long as the show provided them work, which is why mm-hmm. they went on to do the Golden Palace. Right.
If I remember correctly, too, going back to her son in Taurus, I think that Decan is ruled by Saturn as well. Mm-hmm. That third Decan of Saturn. So just kind of calling back to her Saturn-ness, I don't know, like the longevity thing again, you know?
Before we go on to Betty White's chart, a good transition would be that it is known that B was not a huge fan of Betty White. Apparently, according to B's son, they were pretty good friends in the beginning. They even would carpool to the show. And it was as time went on where I think they respected each other, but I don't think that B didn't really like being around Betty if she could help it. B. Arthur came from a theater background and in New York, and Betty White grew up in Hollywood and in that world, you know, and the recordings, when the audience was there and the recording the show, those would take hours. And so what Betty White was known to do is in between takes, she would like hype up the audience. She was always kind of on stage. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That annoyed B. Arthur a lot. From, you know, a lot of people that worked with Betty White, is that that was just the professionalism that she had. She was thinking, we got to keep the audience awake. We got to keep them engaged. So it just, you just see how their work ethic was just different in that way.
Yeah.
So before we talk about her chart, Joseph, why don't you give us her little bio?
So I made sure to double check my work this time so I don't say the wrong thing. Betty White was a beloved actress and comedian. She was born on January 17th, 1922 in Oak Park, Illinois. She became famous for her roles on sitcoms like Mary Tyler Moore Show, The Golden Girls, of course, as well as her quick wit and positive personality. Some of this came from AI, so that didn't make any sense dramatically, but that's okay. We're just going to keep on going. A passionate animal advocate, White was also known for her longstanding marriage to a TV game show host, Alan Ludden, and she died on December 31st, 2021, just shy of her 100th birthday. So she was 99.
So
the anecdote about her always being on stage and her having Leo rising is so on the nose.
Yes, like, absolutely.
I feel like for anyone listening, she's January 17th, 1922. She's Leo ascendant, Virgo moon, and Capricorn rising. Or, no, excuse me. Wow, what the fuck? Virgo moon, Capricorn sun, and Leo rising.
Yes.
Yeah. And the only like birth time that is like on the nose, very specific too. So we can like really kind of get into that one. But
yeah,
I was saying when we were, before we started recording, she has Neptune on her rising. And I just think like, you know, sort of like hiding behind that really sweet smile, going to her son is in the sixth house and she's known for her animal welfare too.
Right.
If I remember correctly as well. Yep. But then I go right to that moon in Virgo, that analytical kind of very sort of like precise moon in Virgo. And that is ruled by, again, like a really, I think, quick sort of logical Mercury in Aquarius, which it's right across from her ascendant and it squares her midheaven. And I think like her like appearing on tons of game shows and just knowing for being like really like constantly like with it, I thought was kind of telling with that as well. And if you even go further, her lot of fortune I think is in the fifth house too, which is like game shows and performing and all that stuff. But anyway, that was my quick like, it's was that one was just like so like okay. Very on the nose.
You're 100% right about that too. There's actually clips of her, there's like all these famous outtakes or bloopers from Golden Girls. And what made them so funny was that Betty White would just keep going. She would yes, and if somebody fucked up a line, she'd go with it, and like, or she'd like make up a joke on the spot. And like, she was one of the only ones that was like quick enough to do that and have it be so seamless. So like, mm-hmm. it makes sense that she was so successful on those game shows too. Like, I just feel like that was part of her nature.
Yeah.
And she also has, I mean, she has Mars in Scorpio. And so like just sort of belies this like really kind of intense kind of nature and just this like I think fiercest underneath, and that is square her Mercury. So that is in sort of direct conversation with like the fact that she's just really with it, really, really quick, and like a dagger to your heart as well. Like you don't see her coming, but she'll kind of knife you. Was the, I think her, you know, was her sense of humor too. And knowing that she played sort of like the Blanche role on Mary Tyler Moore.
And apparently in real life, she was a bit more like Sue Ann Nivens and Mary Tyler Moore than she was Rose.
Yeah.
That, yeah. You know, which makes a lot of sense when you think of like that Venus conjunct the sun, this like flirty nature about her that you're just kind of attracted to. And she kind of, it sounds, makes her sound bad, but like almost like uses that, right? Like it's, mm-hmm. it's how she gets what she wants. I mean, that's also like Mars and Scorpio is, I'm going to get what I want.
Yeah.
Got it. It's mine. Yeah. You know?
Well, she also has Venus square Jupiter too. So there's a lot of like genuine goodwill and like, you know, giving, and there is that really sweet nature, but I just, you know, this is like clearly like a very multidimensional person, you know? Also too, if B. Arthur has Capricorn rising, then Betty would have a Capricorn sun. So there is that sinistry. Mm-hmm. But I just wonder if, you know, like, so there is in a sense, yeah, they're maybe both alike in some way, but also like sometimes you do want to kill the people that you have like that kind of similar, yeah, like sinistry with as well, you know?
Yeah. There was one writer who had some issues along with B. Arthur, with, you know, B. Arthur didn't love how Betty would, you know, go into the audience and like try to keep them going. Estelle famously, even from season one, had a hard time remembering her lines. And of course, as seasons went on, it got harder and harder. And sometimes that it would just cause the tapings to go on longer. And Betty would get very frustrated. And her way of dealing with it was to crack jokes at Estelle's expense. And she did it all the time. And this upset people that were really close with Estelle because they knew that something was going on. And later on, all of them said, you know, I think, you know, in retrospect, it was that professionalism. It was like at the expense of Estelle, but we got to keep this audience awake, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was interesting. Fascinating.
The showmanship is with the Leo rising is just crazy. Like, I'm just like, you know,
well, also, I feel like, you know, that also speaks to like, she was definitely a ham. Like, mm-hmm. I'm reminded of that infamous 2010 Facebook petition to get Betty White to host SNL.
Oh, yeah.
Do y'all remember that?
Yeah. Yes.
She was in her 80s. No, she was
in her 90s. Yeah, at that point. Because that, was like 12 or 15 years ago.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Jeez, I'm having such a hard time with time. It was like one of the best episodes of SNL in years.
Yeah.
Apparently, Lorne Michaels had actually asked her to host throughout the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and she just said no. But because the, you know, I don't know. I just think it's interesting.
Yeah.
She only agreed because there was a Facebook petition.
She's like, I guess I have to. Like.
Yeah. She's like, what choice do I have?
Yeah. Well, and speaking to like how long she lived and how long she was performing, and like, so her chart ruler being her sun in Capricorn, and that sun in Capricorn being ruled by an exalted Saturn in Libra again as well, which is the same thing that B had too. You know, just like how long they're doing it. You know.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, just and getting more famous as she got older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's look at Estelle Getty.
So Estelle Getty, born Estelle Scher, was born on July 25th, 1923 in New York City. She got her start in acting later on in life, but she started in the theater, particularly in Yiddish and off-Broadway productions, but she did make her Broadway debut appearing in Torch Song Trilogy. And then she went on to be in The Golden Girls from 85 to 92. And she actually released an autobiography called If I Knew Then What I Know Now, So What? Which was published in 1988. She retired from acting and battled Lewy body dementia. She passed away on July 22nd, 2008, at the age of 84.
So yeah, Estelle Getty, one we definitely don't have a time for, so we don't really, that's something we could, you know, debate about what we think she is. I have an idea of what Rising said she might be, but I don't know. Was a Leo sun, and a Sagittarius moon, or that's the other thing.
Capricorn moon, maybe.
Yeah, Capricorn Moon. I
Yeah.
don't know. That's she has the chart that's the hardest to interpret because of those things.
Yes.
So either she's a Sagittarius moon or a Capricorn moon. I don't know. I don't know. What do you
I
think?
could see both. It's so
Yeah.
annoying. I could see both. And when does her moon? Okay, so let me animate her chart. When does her moon go into? When does the moon go into? The moon goes into Capricorn that day by 8 a.m. So July
Yeah.
25th, 1923. And like, you know, I think the okay. It's so funny because you can kind of make the argument, the same argument for both, because Moon and Capricorn, known for playing someone super old, and knowing for wearing pounds of makeup and wearing this playing super old lady. But then also, like, you could see like the Sagittarius moon too as like the clown kind of, because I, you know, but I think,
Spitfire.
like, but then again, she has all those, she has four planets and she has four planets in Leo too.
She has
One
the
thing I
most
did,
fire of all the charts.
which is funny because literally, like, that is her character, you know.
I'd be curious to know how similar her chart is to like Amy Sedaris, because like
Oh.
you know what I mean? Like you
Yeah.
described her,
Yeah.
but like she likes to play old lady. She's the clown.
Yeah.
You know what I
That's
mean?
so funny.
That's a good, I like that. I'll have to look
That's
that
actually a really good point. I wonder if
up.
there's something in common with that.
Maybe. Maybe it's something to look into.
I forgot to mention B. Arthur had a Venus Uranus square, or a Mercury Venus to Uranus, which is like sharp, you know, again, like the sharp wit and the unexpected and all that kind of stuff. But Estelle Getty has a Venus Uranus trine too, which I think is cool because they're playing mother and daughter. And you know, it's kind of cool too because Estelle Getty has Venus in Cancer, which again, it's sort of giving that like super nurturing, kind of nice lady, and then what you see is kind of not what you get.
Well, speaking of her Venus and Cancer, from all the accounts of people behind the scenes, Estelle was the most welcoming and warming of the crew and like the younger people on set, specifically anyone that came across as gay. She kind of adopted them under her wing.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's cute.
And she was even known for, and this feels very Venus in Cancer, because she was friends with so many gay men. She, of course, had a lot of gay male friends that were dying of AIDS. And she was always going to the hospital, making them like chicken noodle soup. She really felt like she could nurse them back to health. That was something, because this was when they didn't know what to do about it, right? So that feels very, almost like a Mother Teresa to the queer community in a way.
I mean, I kind of even feel just looking at her Leo sun. I think she is she the only Leo sun of the group?
Yes.
I mean, just even looking at like the sun in its own domicile and just sort of shining so brightly and being this like breakout star. My thing was thinking about her having Moon and Capricorn theoretically was it took her so long to really break out. Because she was like doing, I was reading like she was just like doing plays for a really long time and working and doing it. And like, so that was kind of giving to me like, I'm going to keep going until I kind of break out essentially. Which kind of, you know, kind of made me think, okay, then there's that exalted Saturn in Libra ruling that moon then as well. So that kind of made me think of that.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. In fact, I think after discussing this a little bit, I am now convinced that she had a Capricorn moon.
Cool.
And I also feel like, yeah, Capricorn moon. Okay, she's definitely Capricorn moon. But when it comes to rising, I feel like she might be a Scorpio rising.
Oh, with Jupiter on the ascendant.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
could be.
Just because I mean, like that Mother Teresa energy and the like giving and
Wanting to take care of people that were dying. She also had her own kind of tragic behind the scenes. Like in a lot of ways, her marriage ended because of Golden Girls.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. How so?
Once she started becoming famous, it just they, you know, the
Got it.
typical thing of like,
Got it.
and
And I
I want to
believe,
say, oh, sorry, go on.
I was gonna say, I believe that her family was based in New York City and she was gone so long that I think that the marriage just kind of, I think they just kind of
Got
grew
it.
apart. So
Yeah.
yeah,
Got it.
she was trying to be bi-coastal while she was on the show.
Well, even just going back to her planets, she has a really tight Mercury Mars conjunction in Leo. And her character being known for saying what no one else is going to say, like that sort of her main character trait, you know, Mercury being communication, Mars being like, you know, sort of like words as weapons kind of thing. And they're both in fire signs. It's that very, like, you can see how she got that role. You know, yes, what I mean? Like, it seems like it's perfect for her, even just looking at that. So,
well, that's an archetype that she brought to so many of her roles too. I mean, like, we've brought up theater, but she was also in quite a few movies. She was in Mask. She played the grandmother in Mask.
Know that. Okay.
She was in Mannequin, and she played a...
She owned the mall.
Oh, that's right. She owned the mall. And then she was also in Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
All right. Let me pull up Rue. And while I pull up Rue, Joseph, you can give her a little Rue McClanahan bio.
So Rue McClanahan was born in Oklahoma on February 21st, 1934. She was an American actress, also well known for her role as Blanche Devereaux in Golden Girls. But before that iconic role, she was a stage actress throughout the 1960s in New York City. And she was actually discovered by Norman Lear while working in the theater scene. And this led to appearances in All in the Family and Maude, as well as appearances in shows like Love Boat, Lou Grant, Newhart, and Murder, She Wrote. Rue McClanahan died from a stroke on June 3rd, 2010, at the age of 76.
Yeah, she was the youngest.
She was.
One thing I noticed about her... being married six times and she has Venus retrograde. I noticed that. Like, I was like, where's the six marriages? Like, where is that in her chart? Not saying everyone has Venus retrograde as six marriages, but I was like, what's going on with that? It's, you know.
Well, and if this time-ish is correct and she really is a Virgo rising with Neptune on the ascendant, that puts her sun and Mars and Mercury in the seventh house, Pisces.
Yeah.
So that can also speak to relationships being a big part of her life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the reason we were skeptical was it is a AA rated time, but it's 7 o'clock flat. So yeah. We're like, I wonder if that's, but yeah, but then again, I mean, even if it's not 7 o'clock, like if it's around there, she's still Virgo rising because that rising sign falls right in the middle and all of those planets in her seventh house of partnership. Yeah, speaks to that focus in life being a lot on relationships. So she has Moon in Gemini too.
Yeah.
And it's trying to be right near the midheaven. What do you kind of make of that?
I think it's another way to look at someone who is a performer on stage, wears different, you know, different masks. She was very, she took her job very seriously as an actress. You know, the rest of the ladies, they kind of went by the script. Even like Betty White, if she felt like a word needed to be changed, even if it was just like adding a so or an and, she felt like she needed to consult with the writers about it. She would never just change a word without discussing them. Whereas Rue was a little bit more, maybe not changing words, but she always needed a backstory. She needed like, she had questions, right? So this is very like, Moon.
That's very thorough Virgo rising, like absolutely. But also like inhabiting, I feel like completely inhabiting her character with her Pisces, with her Pisces sun, Mars and Mercury. Like, cause I still think about the episode where she goes home when her dad dies and she thinks he's like talking to her, but she's just like giving this. I think about their performance a lot. Like for just some reason, I was like, I just felt the drama of it, you know, like, you know, and just inhabiting, especially Pisces being the exaltation of Venus, like the romance of that sort of that she always portrayed as well is like, you know, her main characteristic was like constant, like she was always horny, but she was in love a lot too, I felt like as well.
Yeah. You know? A very Piscean presence.
Yeah. Just flowy. Like she's always sort of shimmying as she.
Yeah. But another thing about that moon in Gemini though, you know, you can think of like, Moon and Gemini people stereotypes might be like eccentric or quirky. Well, you know, and she was also an animal. They were all animal people.
All of them.
Yeah.
You can find on YouTube, Rue McClanahan did like a PSA for like cats or something.
Oh, yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But she was known to be a little bit eccentric. She wanted all of Blanche's wardrobe, so she was able to keep a lot of it, But she cut
Oh.
all the shoulder pads out. She had someone make a quilt out of all the shoulder pads.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
That is pretty cool.
I do think Blanche is my favorite character. Like I
Yeah.
really like just I mean, I love all of them so much. And I sometimes like I hard to pick a favorite, but I think Blanche is probably my favorite.
Blanche is
Maybe one of
great.
my favorite characters of all. I mean, I think one of my favorite characters of just all time. I live for her.
What about you, Joseph?
So we had talked about the idea of doing like a
Oh
being
yeah.
charred as the golden
Yes.
girl.
Yes.
And
Let's do it. Let's do
so,
it.
okay. So I am, see, I don't see because I relate to all of them. So like I'm just trying to figure out which, where to put them. I do think that I am more of like a Dorothy Rising, maybe like a Rose Sun and a Sophia Moon. Yeah. I don't know if any of that made
Okay.
sense.
Just to recap, you said, can you repeat that one more time?
I don't think I can.
Okay. That is
Okay.
so funny. Sorry.
Dorothy Rising.
Yeah.
Because I can't, I do be a little Dorothy in the streets.
Yeah.
Help me out. What did I say?
Dorothy Rising,
A Rose Sun
Sun,
and a Sophia Moon.
Sophia Moon.
And
Oh,
my.
okay. I was
And
going to say the same thing, except for Sophia
yeah.
Rising, Rose Sun, Dorothy Moon.
Okay. I think I'm Dorothy Rising as well. I would say maybe a Rose Moon because I feel like I'm kind of sensitive, and I will pretty much believe you whatever you tell me for the first few minutes, and then it starts to click that maybe you're not from like Mars or whatever. I'm like, oh, you are! Oh my God, fantastic! And then I do feel like a Blanche Sun. Like there's like it's a little more hidden though. But there's like the passion and the longing and the. But I feel like all three of us are going to be wearing drapey clothes and sort of skulking around our lanai,
Lanai.
and yeah,
Without shoes on.
and big hairy feet. Why did I don't know why they worked. Looking at their charts all together, I mean, what do we think of the lack of water? How does that help, if it helps at all?
I mean, I would think it helps to show up to work even if you fucking hate your co-star. That's one thing. Or at least don't like your co-star because you're not stuck in your emotions as much. It's like I have a job to do. I thought it was interesting. At least two of their charts, Neptune shows up in the first house, and Neptune is on the midheaven of the show. That they have that sort of zeitgeisty energy or something linking it back to that kind of zeitgeist energy, like how they actually come across, or just that planet kind of showing up prominently.
Almost like icon status or
Yeah, totally. If you have Neptune in the first house somewhere that's like in your chart, gay men are going to love you. It's
Oh
definitely
yeah.
gays will.
True.
Well,
All
you
the
just
like
explained it. You just cracked the Sacha Bell code.
because I mean, think of other like Neptune in the first, Bjork, Tori Amos,
Oh my God. Wow.
like
Okay.
all but like a lot of like iconic. At least I'm listing off 90s ladies from when I was a teen. Me and Joseph were teenagers, but lots of like iconic ladies have Neptune in the first.
It's the mystique. I can't figure you out. Like, yes, bitch, I'm gonna worship you. Whatever you say.
Exactly. When it comes to the show, we spoke about the Neptune of it all being this iconic zeitgeisty thing that just continues to stand the test of time and just almost seems to get more popular as time goes on. And it's also just become such an iconic part of queer culture. Why is that?
I think there's something to be said about the fact that having a show centered around four women in their 50s be and beyond, and just their day-to-day lives, and the fact that that was so groundbreaking just feels like it shouldn't be, but it is because of the world that we live in. And it makes me realize just like how easily it is for people that are outside of a cookie cutter ideal to be kind of cast aside. And I feel like as women who are older, at least when it came to things like their, you know, sexuality and sensuality and them as just like autonomous people. The show was expressing something that we didn't really ever see. And it was kind of like normalizing this group of people that are normally, you know, cast aside or like not really talked about. And I feel like that holds a big connection with the queer community, honestly. I mean, especially people who grew up during that time. I mean, I remember being scared out of my mind, you know, like I was going to get found out. I wasn't hiding it very well.
I know. I was
I
like,
already
I've
was
always had
found
this
out.
voice. It turns out people were asking if I was gay since I was like a child, you know?
Yeah,
Yeah.
me too.
I mean, there's like the chosen family aspect of it too.
Oh, absolutely.
And also there is something very mystical about four women. And no, like knowing that the show directly is kind of responsible for Sex and City, another show I'm like probably always gonna be obsessed with, you know? And for me also, it's just like the writing and the jokes. It's still funny. It's just always gonna be funny. Funny, if funny and comforting in this perfect made in a lab, especially for queer people, you know?
Yeah.
You know. Also that each of them were known for advocacy in various respects. It's like you can kind of feel that, like, yeah, these women did raise me,
Yeah.
basically, you know.
Yeah. Again, why it stands the test of time is because of the way those subjects were treated. I mean, going back to the AIDS episode and Rue McClanahan as Blanche, and that, you know, this is not a, you know, not a bad person's disease. I mean, these were just revolutionary, and so it just stuck. We'll continue to get random, you know, Golden Girls merchandise on our birthdays and on holidays and in like
Yes.
office appreciation, whatever, random.
Should we go out on what's your favorite Golden Girls quote?
Oh, I'm so bad at quotes. Favorite quote is condoms, Rose,
Yes.
condoms.
Mine is, I don't even remember what it's in response to, but Dorothy says something to Sophia and she's like, "Are you excited, Ma?" And Sophia goes, "I'm lactating."
I can't think of anything, any quote in particular, but I watch it rewatching as, you know, I've watched it many times. Something I'm noticing in the later seasons, the way the ladies react to Rose being Rose, just gets meaner and
Telling St.
meaner.
Olaf stories.
Yeah, it just gets meaner.
Yeah.
And like,
That's
those are just some of my favorites. Like when she says something and Sophia looks at her and just goes, "I hate you."
Yeah.
That's so.
Awesome. Okay, well, that was a lot of fun. So, before we go, Alex, why don't you talk about your practice as an astrologer and anything you have going on and like what?
Yeah, so I'm a professional astrologer and I do psychic medium stuff as well. You can find me at docsoracle.com, my Instagram, docsoracle, YouTube, docsoracle. I do more stuff on YouTube these days. I would say if you want like more of the like weekly forecast vibes, I'd go on YouTube. I do pop up on Instagram and TikTok from time to time with like little videos and stuff, but that's where you can find me.
Cool. I know. I want to. I might have to get a psychic reading from you. It's been a while since I've had one of those. I'd be very interested.
Yeah.
So,
I would love one too, for
yeah.
sure.
So, I'll have links to all. So, anyone listening and links to check out Alex's stuff. And if you want to book a reading,
If anyone, I don't know if you guys are Buffy fans or Sex and
oh,
City fans.
yes.
Let's do an astrology of Buffy or Sex and City. If
Okay.
I just, I've
Definitely
wanted to do those
Buffy.
for a
I would
long
love
time.
to
Let's
do
do
Buffy.
Buffy.
Okay.
Okay.
I would love to do
Yes.
Buffy.
Okay,
Absolutely.
I
Got it
was wondering. I was
here.
like, "Is there a vibe happening? I want to do this again." This
Yeah,
is really
let's
fun.
definitely do
So,
Buffy. Yeah.
I
Well, you're in
mean,
luck because
okay.
I'm also the resident Buffy the Vampire Slayer expert. So,
Oh, okay. This is yes.
also
I
self-proclaimed.
yeah. That one's a definite fact. You know, probably
Okay.
more than that. Yeah. So that's perfect, Buffy. All right. Well,
Hell
you heard
yeah.
it here first.
Okay,
We're
cool.
gonna schedule that soon. We're gonna do the astrology of Buffy.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Love that. Thank God.
Yes.
So Joseph, talk about, so you are an artist and a musician in Baltimore. You go
Yeah.
by, you have a moniker of Glorian. Why don't you talk a little bit about what you've got going on?
Yeah, so I make music. I've been playing music forever since I was like 10 years old, so pretty much my whole life. I've been in various projects. My most current project is called Glorian. It is dance music. It's very gay, it's very weird and sometimes kind of spooky. I'm having a lot of fun with the project, and I just released a record a couple months ago called Dance Songs for Strangers. It is on all the streaming platforms, and you can find me at glorianmusic.com. And I'm mostly active on Instagram, actually, at underscore Glorian, Glorian.
Yeah, I just followed you. I was like, okay,
Oh,
let me
cool.
do
I'll follow you
this.
back.
Yes.
Nice. Yay. This was a lot of fun. Thanks, everybody. And we will be back, as you heard it here, with the astrology of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really
Yay. Thank you for
looking
having
forward
me.
to that.